Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Listen, Janine, I told the Freedom family that you're on the scene. There is mic in hand. There is cameraman there. She is reporting live.
And for those of you that are interested in what I was doing and why I'm late, you can view CNC3 at 4 p.m. today for Thinking Differently, a brand new episode. And of course, we explore the worlds of ADHD, autism, dyslexia, Tourette's. So take a look at it, understand what we're doing, receive the knowledge, so there would be that change in our society. There's a little more inclusivity, you know. So I'm really excited about doing this show, and I'm so sorry I was late.
Listen,
things just run out, you know.
Siren
fast, the wind blew. Gotta start over. You know what I mean? So these are the
Janine
elements.
Janine is out here doing the Lord's work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that Lord's work continues right here on the digital world too. So we just heard from Renee Andrews of Sorvete. And Janine, homegirl, came with a goodie bag. She got a whole goodie bag. There is like 10 flavors of ice cream in that bag. I call in the coconut from now. You can take whatever you want, but I call in the coconut from now, right? So we'll go through that.
Okay.
And because I know Janine loves her belly, you don't understand. Listen to me. Every show, Janine will be like, "Hey, I need to eat a cookie."
I need to eat a whole meal.
No, I'm not vexed, you know.
Like
so
you.
Because I appreciate Janine so much, I was like, you know what? I go organize a little Friday where it's going to be food right through. They're just food.
Smart girl.
I'm in my glee. The reason I might be quiet is because I'm...
We'll talk about what she's eating. So our second guest of the day is none other than Simone Edwin, award-winning chef and lecturer. Listen to me, and the owner of Meraki Catering. Simone does a lot. She has a love in the field. Her love for culinary arts began in 2006 when she enrolled in the then Trinidad and Tobago Hospitality and Tourism Institute to study culinary management. This love exponentially grew into a profound respect for the art of cuisine, and she knew she had found her lifelong passion to create masterful works of art that would reflect the flavors and vibe of her homeland of TT. And I know, listen, Janine's stuffing her face right now. Janine just nodding. Yeah, I agree. She has added her value to establishments such as, is it Two Colossio?
Il Colossio.
Yeah, I butchered that. Colossio, Buzo, Morvino, and Adams Bagels. But her true mark was undoubtedly made while teaching baking and pastry arts at the Trinidad and Tobago Institute. All right. She extended the passion that she developed for the culinary industry to her understanding of raising future generations to even greater heights. Most notable achievement, she's a three-time awardee of the Lecture of the Year at the TTHTI. She's the vice captain of the Parang Bang. Spanish name. Janine, I need you to read this. Voices. Voce?
I don't know.
Voces Jovenes. I was never going to get that.
Voces. Voces. Voces.
Jovenes. Oh, there we go. She is the head food consultant of... I need a drum roll. Janine, we need a DJ here. I need sound effects and thing, right? Organize that. Yeah. Right, Janine got that. Head food consultant for Soka Brainwash. And I mean, if it was one thing that everybody spoke about at Brainwash, they didn't even talk about the music. They were like the food.
Listen, shout out to DJ Private Ryan every single time. Amazing.
Start the Parang and Dirty Mask Company. She's a finalist of the unaired cooking competition, Caribbean Cook Up in the Dominican Republic. She is the winner of the Maggie Food Court Caribbean Jamaica 2022. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss Simone. How you doing?
I am good, Karen. How are you guys doing today? Thank you so much for having me here. Like, I really appreciate it.
No problem. Like I said, I know my girl like her belly. I was like, yo, we got to talk some food, but not just food. We got to talk the business of it and how you have been able to build the brand.
Right.
And that is one of the things that we love to showcase on the show, talking to other entrepreneurs in a variety of different industries. your stories, your journey gives gems to everybody listening in, and they can now take that and apply that, you know. So let's start it off with this. What inspired you to get into culinary arts and pursue a career in this field?
So I was unlike persons in, you know, secondary school, knowing exactly what they wanted to do when they left. You know, everybody had, they wanted to be a lawyer, doctor, they want to be like whatever. I was just, you know, moseying all along, form five hit, did subjects. All right, still didn't know. Went to sixth form in St. Francois and still didn't know. And randomly one day, I was always into art. Like I love graphic arts and all of that stuff. And I had my art teacher randomly come to me. It was coming down to the end of form six. And she was trying to mentor us and ask us, you know, what do we want to do after? And I was just like, I'll figure it out. Didn't really know. But then she said, listen, the form fives are going to an open house at TTHDI. Why don't you just go and see what it's about? Cooking was nowhere on my radar. Like, I mean, food was always a big part of my family because, you know, grandparents and, you know, when you go by them, it's like always food. Always food. Taking care of, you know, you're introduced it through family, obviously. But it was nowhere on my radar as a career. I didn't even think, like, I knew that chefs were, like, a serious career to dive into back then. And when I went to TTHGI, I saw they did a fruit carving. So they applied art in a way that made sense to me, and I was like, all right, that's
sold.
Literally, that was all it took. I applied to them that year, and straight out of Form 6, I went to TTHGI and have not looked back since.
That's literally cool.
That one day, that was it for me. That's, I was like, all right, this makes sense. I'll figure out how to make money from this after. And that was it. So that's that was fantastic. What got me in the industry.
That's amazing.
did you learn to cook from your grandmother? Where did that start?
Actually, no. I literally learned to cook at school. Prior to school, there was, I mean, you'd cook eggs, you do, you know, breakfast,
and
you make
breakfast
for yourself. Yeah, you know. But to say like I used to cook for my family back then, it was never a thing. I literally went to TTHGI and just dove headfirst into everything.
Right.
And I learned to cook at TTHGI basically. So, you know, I saw the need for it in terms of how I could apply myself and my background in art and stuff to it.
Right.
And, you know, you just dive headfirst into it. You apply what you already knew to it. And it was just, there was just something about learning how to get things done the right way. Especially baking was always a challenge for me because cooking, unlike baking, is very, it's like a freeform way of applying, you know, yourself to food. You could throw this, add this, but bacon is literally, when they say bacon is a science, it's a science. And
exact measurements.
And I had this, I think it's part of my competitive nature of, you're like, I have to get this right. That I was always intrigued by bacon to get it right. Because I couldn't just wing things back then. You know, you're now learning how to bake and stuff. I could do that now. You know, applying years of expertise and stuff to the craft. But back then, I was trained classic French cuisine cooking.
Right.
But then bacon had this kind of like this extra something that I just, it was digging at me that, hey, you need to learn how to do this. So basically I decided to kind of switch gears into that. And that is why I'm a trained pastry chef.
Right.
But I can also cook. So, you know, you have to be like double threats and triple threats in this life. I think never pigeonhole yourself into just cooking,
because
that could, you know, only lead to down to one road. So like I used to just find little things to make myself more expandable and, you know, relevant. So yeah, that's my cooking story from back then.
That is pretty impressive. Tell us about now though. We talked about back then, but you've won so many awards. Is that a humbling feeling? How do you feel? You know, so many people probably look up to you, people that you probably went to school, TTHI with, and they're watching you like this, you know, big chef. How do you feel?
It's still something that's very weird for me. A lot of my friends tell me, you know, being in an entrepreneurial space now, like, you have to talk about, you have to learn how to sell yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that it's hard for me to get used to because of my creative side. I'm a person, I just like to get things done.
Right.
Work is work. I like to plan the planning stages of things to see something go from nothing into,
yes,
you know, this big event or something that people get to enjoy.
Yeah.
I love to stay in the background, but because of the nature of how my career has evolved,
mm-hmm,
over time, I have had to force myself to get into that spotlight of, yeah, you start to talk about yourself. Yeah, you start to talk about your business.
You got to do interviews.
Yeah, it's weird. Talking about myself, but because of just how I grew up, I don't let those things get to my head.
Really?
Because in the blink of an eye, things could disappear.
Thank you very much.
I always keep it on the ground. I can talk to the CEO of a company, but learning that the janitor is also a very, you know, important part of the process as well. And you keep it cool with people, you know, mm-hmm, because you never know where life could throw you.
Yeah, exactly.
So I always keep it on a humble level. You know, you have to have a little bit of cockiness as a chef from time to time, you know, because
a little bit,
learn how to arch the hand a little bit. But it's a balance that I'm able to always maintain, knowing when to be that, you know, cocky,
yeah,
you know, like very self-aware,
mm-hmm,
of my skills, my talents and stuff, but then knowing when to just, you know, chill,
rock back
and, you know, let my work and
speak for itself.
History speak for itself.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
When you decided, okay, we're gonna go down the line of, we're gonna get into the hospitality school, we want to become a chef or go down that road, you know, when you told your family that this is what you want to do, your close people, what was the response when you told them?
So my mom was always, because I'm a last child, I had the learning experience from my brother and my sister. I always knew when I go to my mom to do something,
mm-hmm,
have it worked out. And I'm a person, I love to get, information is my best friend. So yeah. I was trained from her, if you come in, if this is what you want to do, you lay out exactly how you need to get there.
Right.
I'm going to assist you as best as I can. But so I always had that, you know, about me. So I just went and I was like, so yeah, this is what you want to do. And she's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need from me? GATE was instituted at that time, so I was able to go through that system, get help from, you know, the government to pay for tuition and all of that stuff. It was the next ball game, and when I told I wanted to go away to finish the studies,
right?
That kind of the money that she had to find for that. But you know, thank God, God worked out everything, and we were able to cross that boat. Other family members were a little bit more, not, you know, very
supportive,
understanding. Oh, okay. But again, once I had the support of my mom,
that was it.
Monday could have fallen on a Friday. Nothing else mattered to me, mm-hmm, at that point. Mm-hmm. I remember I had one family member say, oh, so you're going to learn how to stir pot.
I bet they're regretting that.
Well, okay,
no.
All right, cool. I was like, all right, great, cool. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And the comment always stayed with me. Because I have a bit of a bad mind, kind of finished. I need to use things like that to kind of fuel me forward.
I think we all do.
You have to keep gems like that in
exactly.
your head. Tucked away. The mm-hmm. days that you're really feeling, you know, to give up, that you're feeling, you know, completely withdrawn from things, you had to pull those things out of your...
I'm going to show you how to stir pots.
Yeah. Let me show you.
That relative is regretting that statement.
I'm going to be the best pot stirrer you've ever heard about in Trinidad.
Exactly.
So. It was funny. It was it was cool with me, you know, like it was just like whatever. Once I had the support of certain people, anything else could have happened after that. So, you know, it was I have a lot to thank later on in my career, and even when I was going to school, well, through school actually, me leaving to go to the States. My best friend, Kalina, shout out to Kalina. I met her there, and it was just, you know, like things just line up accordingly. And two other of my very close friends, they actually were the ones to make me see the value of me being an entrepreneur and to, like, because I always love to entertain. Like, my house was the house that everybody just reached to. Mm-hmm. Always had food, drinks, lime, and
your
stuff
house
like
is
that.
A place
where
to
living again? It was the place. Well, that was back then. It's like, real, you know. But yeah, so they, like, through all lime, like, I always used to make things and, you know, they sit and eat it, and everybody's like, Simone, why you just go and sell this? And I'm a person, I don't believe in, you know, just because you're good at this, this is what you have to do with, mm-hmm. with your life. Like, you had it has to be a thought out process. But then I started to see, you know, they kind of might be making some sense. So, you know, just see if I could, you know, if it's really a feasible way to go about, you know, my career, like on the other phase of my career.
Stepping out on your own is different.
And yeah, so like, seriously, like, listen, people, they don't tell you, you know, you see the entrepreneurs and you see the boss ladies and the boss men, but people don't tell you that first step, that first jump, it's terrifying. But the, again, that support from them. Yeah. I can't ever turn back, you know. But that support from my friends, like, it was, they don't understand, like, how much that means to me. And I really, and you know, indebted to them for that. So shout out to K, Jad, and Robin.
Hey,
bless
that's
up.
Nice. That's good vibes. Bless now up. What is your signature dish or your culinary style, and what makes it so unique?
So my signature dish, because I am a pastry chef, I dived into that greater than you know, early on being a chef. Pastries is definitely a thing, so desserts. That cheesecake that I brought for you guys,
yummy, by
is actually one
delicious.
Of, you know, one of my signature items. It's a black cake cheesecake. Again, infusing Trinidad culture, infusing the things that we could get or like here.
Right.
You know, instead of having to import expensive things and being, you know, accessible to people. Because a part of my business is to, yes, I obviously offer services to high-end clients. But I always like to stay relevant to people, you know, who've been with me throughout. I don't want to ever become someone who, like, nobody.
$3,000 a plate.
Correct, you know, and people who have actually made my brand what it is, you know, they can't afford me, or, you know, have to save up, like, for years before they could, you know, they could buy my services. That's crazy. So yeah. I try to find ways to infuse local produce, local ingredients that we're familiar with that we probably forget, or you don't know how to infuse it into food, especially into desserts. That is where my creative side comes out better, I would say. In terms of food, though, I love Italian food. Like, it is where I started my career. It's very simple, homey food.
I need to get on the best friend list.
Yeah, I know, right? Me and you, honey.
No, y'all are going to complain, because anytime, like, I have, like, extras and I just drop off things, like, my friends are like, all right, okay, like, enough. Like,
No.
You're going to get me fat. Like,
No. No,
not you.
Not us. Not maybe. Not me.
I will.
You want to sign
drop
up?
Drop it.
You know what? I'll have the notepad at the front desk.
Anytime
you can sign up for
song.
That. Just drop
extra
off.
Extra chicken.
Just pass.
Vegetables. I ain't even just jumping. Pastries.
Oh, I love it.
I'm there.
Gotcha. Now that I know.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah, so that's where, like, I just love to, you know, just make things taste good, you know.
Yeah.
And using familiar products, finding a way to
incorporate
to take basil, and why can't we make a basil ice cream? So, like, it's funny that you had Rene on before.
Yeah.
That part, like, I dive into all kinds of things when it comes to sweet, savory foods. I had an ice cream line of stuff. Rene does it better, by the way. hands down. But yeah, like, there was a time a client asked me, she wanted to have a dessert bar at her wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And she said her husband really loved ice creams. And she said, listen, we know, like, you are known for the crazy things that you do with stuff, so make me the weirdest flavor at you. And I was like, all right.
That's so random.
Say less. Like, you know, I love when clients just tell me, you know, just go wild.
Be creative, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, we did a basil infused ice cream with, like, lemon.
Yeah.
People were like, what is this? Like, what? Like, so, yeah. So things like that, like, I love to play around with food. Because I think, you know, my mom used to always tell us, like, don't smell food and don't play. Like, I'm going to show you. So that's what I do, you know, as part of my career now. So it's all fun.
Well, I have a question. Because I have ulcerative colitis, you're a chef. How do you make sure that your food is both healthy
for somebody like me or anybody that might be going through something like this.
Right.
But still tastes amazing.
So you definitely have to find out from the client. So like I tailor menus. I don't just have, a lot of people always ask me, you know, why you don't just have a menu online? And I'm like, the variety of clients that I have, it's not practical to, not to sound cocky or anything, but when I tell people, whatever you want, I can make it.
Right.
Because I have to tailor in COVID. I had a lot of vegan and clients who had IBS.
Okay.
Couldn't eat gluten. Couldn't eat gluten. They have severe lactose intolerance, things that the typical food would carry.
Mm-hmm.
So I now had to start to dive into a little bit of research and, you know, just learning on my own, because I needed to fill that gap that was, they couldn't go to a random place. Because something as simple as, you know, I have a client who can't eat like tomatoes. So there's
That's
an acid
random.
In tomatoes.
Wow.
It's super random. So things that you don't think of that I would put in everyday food,
mm-hmm.
you now have to take a step back and say, all right, how am I going to find an ingredient that can compensate for this, but mm-hmm. still give the same flavor, but be nutritious, that what they need for their bodies. So in 2020, during COVID, 2020 was like a good year. Like, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad and good and needed for a lot of people.
Correct. You know, so it was, I was able to now like fill that gap in that for those clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to do a lot of research, do a lot of reading, and, you know, kind of segment my career into, or my offerings into something extra that I had clients now, you know, be able to facilitate. So what I always tell people when I do a consultation first with you, if you're a new client, I always tell them, listen, you let me know what you can eat, what you can't eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit and literally create menus based on on their needs.
Right.
Now, you have the business. You are an entrepreneur. You're not working for anybody per se, right?
Yeah.
You are in probably the most competitive space
mm-hmm.
known to humankind.
Correct.
We all have to eat.
Correct.
Everywhere you go has food.
Correct.
Everywhere is going to have, you know, their own flavors and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you stay competitive, or how do you set yourself apart in this space? Because, again, it's one of those things where it's probably no other space that is competitive as food.
Yeah.
And in Trinidad, you love your belly. So how do you stand out amidst of all of the competition?
I think it's a matter of trial and error a lot of the times.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, as you said, there are so many people, you know, you make something good once, hey, you could go and sell that, you know. And everybody jumps on the bandwagon and
they do it.
they literally have, they fail us with it, you know.
Yeah.
They just, yeah, all right, cool, I'll go and open a spot and start, you know. What I always say, I my reality, you know, comes out very quickly when I hear or see people doing things like that, because it's like, you literally, I can't supply all of Trinidad. So you still have to remain that sensible, humble person to be like, all right, cool, don't hate on anybody's game. Because you don't know, you know, I started that exact way, you know. But I wouldn't say off of a whim, but, you know, it was not a plan from when I was 3 years old or 5 years old. This is what I knew I wanted to do. So you don't ever knock somebody's game, because you never know what brilliance they, you know, they could achieve based on, you know, starting off in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think staying relevant and just doing a lot of, you have to be online, you have to be seeing trends, you have to keep up to date as to what's going on. Talk to people, network, find out what people need. You know, I always tell people, if you fix a problem, you make money.
Mm-hmm.
You figure things mm-hmm. out. You help somebody deal with something that they could not get their mind around. You're golden, you know. So having you know, speaking to different clients, speaking to just different people randomly. So I'll give you an example mm-hmm. to make it. So there is a client that I'm working with right now, very well known hotel, that they basically outsource labor. So part of my consultancy is based on me creating a talent bank. So because I know tons of young chefs, tons of young talent. that, you know, maybe looking to, you know, I don't want to use the word hustle.
Yeah.
But they're looking for different things that they have spare time. And all right, if I could do this function for you, this event for you, they make money on the side. That's how a lot of people live, right? And so what I do is that I said, listen, let's make it more
formal,
you know, more formal, more, you know, beneficial to you as well as the client. And so what they do is that they use my company to outsource labor. So I would find talent. So again, it's not me physically doing cooking anything, but it's part of the industry. It's part of staying relevant to what clients are going to need. Mm-hmm. And then it segues my brand into a different atmosphere, you know, different stratosphere. So it's always trying to stay connected to people, just having conversations, because, you know, a lot of people, I don't think, go around telling people, hey, this is my problem. But in just in general conversation, you just have to be intuitive. You have to listen to what people say. And then in your quiet times, listen and formulate a plan or formulate a way to go about fixing that issue. So sometimes it's me realizing that there are different avenues within the sector that I can figure out how to maneuver, how to work my way into, you know, to stay relevant. So you have to read, you have to just be connected.
And that's good because that, I mean, if you're cooking, there's only, you're only one person, and even and even when you have a team, there's only so much food that you can cook.
Yeah.
But when you're getting into the consulting business and you start to add different elements, your business can now scale beyond actually just making the food. Janine.
Now tell me about a particularly challenging moment in your culinary career and how you overcame it.
The doubles man set up shop outside.
Right next door. Within my like career or specifically to business.
Anything that you would like to speak about to share with the masses.
Challenges, like, so I look at challenges very differently. The minute I am faced with something, you know, and if I want a better term, you're knocking your head and you need to, like, I don't sit in things very long. If I realize that there's a need, like something is wrong, I go into fix it mode immediately. So like I to pinpoint one time when there was, you know, something in my face, I might, okay, I could just say maybe when I was actually starting my business, I was at TTHCI, I was a lecturer there, thinking that, you know, this was it, this is where I have found a home, I'm going to retire here. You know, you're creating the whole, you know, 30-year plan of, you know, working at this one place. And I started to see things were not going, you know, in the line that it should have been going in. And like I said, I pay attention a lot. Like I said, I sometimes sit back and just observe things. And when I started to realize that, hey, maybe your plan is, you know, they say, you know, man appoints and God disappoints. So you make your plan and God is like just laughing at you, like, look at you. I realized that I needed to start to make a change, because I noticed that the institute was not going to survive, you know, unfortunately, right? And it kind of forced me, like, you know, when you're back up against a wall, you go into fight or flight mode, and I'm a fighter. So I say, all right, this is not how my story is going to end here. Again, from the support of friends and my mom, they said, go and register a business. And in 2017, without knowing that Meraki was ever going to be a thing, I was reading a book one day, came across the word, which means, you know, putting the heart and soul into your craft, whatever you decide to do, if it's through love and, you know, passion. So I was like, perfect business name. So I was like, let me go and see, register it. Yeah, cool, got through with it. And I was just, it was just sitting there, you know, you're doing cupcakes for people, you're doing little, you know, our family, just buy the ingredients and I'll make it for you now, like that kind of vibe. And then, unfortunately, in 2017, I realized, all right, yeah, this was it for TTHCI, and I resigned. And then I decided to go back into the industry again to stay relevant, to kind of keep my ears to the ground as to, because things would have changed within that 6 year period. Mm-hmm. I would have been another front mind frame.
Yeah.
You know, teaching. Yes, I would have had to, I would have gone on, gone away to do courses and stuff to keep relevant for the students. But the industry now would have required me to be in a managerial mode. So like I decided, listen, it's time to, you know, become uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Let's switch it up a little bit. So I would say like that would have been a challenging period, because I'd need to try to figure out the best lane for me to step into.
How did you feel when the Institute, when you realized that the Institute was going down?
Mad, and was mad. Because I have a very close relationship with students in the sense of understanding where there was a need for them to be there.
Right.
Just the other day, I was telling someone that I, when someone decides to become a chef or become part of the hospitality industry,
yeah,
they literally put all their eggs in one basket. So it's like you have students who, you know, young people who decide, listen, this is what I want to do with my life.
Right.
They abandon, when I tell you abandon everything else, nothing else exists.
Yeah.
And when I started to see them be, I would say, taken advantage of, because they weren't given the entire picture to now decide where their lives were going to go. I think people, you know, just didn't take into consideration that they were, you know, this is what they decided to do with their lives, and that they may not have had a backup plan. So I was really upset. I did not take it very lightly. I'm waiting to see, you know, if things
can come back or rebuild.
Yeah, because it's needed. It's needed. You know, how many times we go into establishments and the first thing we say is like, the service real poor. It's like, why? Yeah, there's a reason why, because there's no formal training, you know, space for people to understand.
There's none at all.
There's
right
one
now
in Tobago. But I would say there's none on the level that TTHI was at.
Okay.
It was not just we learning how to stir a pot. But there were courses that were designed to put you in the mind frame of what hospitality on the wider scale is. Because people think like cooking or chefs are just, you know, we literally just stir pots, and it's a higher level of thinking that you have to have, especially when you're at that executive chef level, that school is needed. It's needed, you know. Not many people get that, but yeah.
I think you should probably look to get some investors.
It's in the works.
Yeah, because
it's in the works.
It's needed. The same cousin I was talking to you about off air. Mm-hmm. Big up my cousin Adiana Foods.
Hey girl,
making your food as well. You could get it in Fitch Street. Anyway, so my cousin, she would have had to go through, you know, the same thing, looking for, you know, a place to go.
Yeah.
And TTHI is like the only place.
It was the epitome of. It gave you a chance at least to start the industry if you jumped right in after school at a certain level. That was, they gave you confidence that you can make it. But now you have places that, you know, you do courses, but it's not, again, on the technical level or the theoretical level that I think a lot of people need to assimilate into the industry well. So the only other option is if you have that kind of cream, you know, if you go away to study, but not a lot of people have that opportunity, you know?
Because that's a lot of money.
It's a lot. And in my day, it was crazy money. No.
What's a ballpark for, like, when you were going?
When I was
just
going.
Just so people have an idea.
I'll tell you, played like, we had to fight for my tuition alone. It was, like, close to $40,000 US. This was 15 years ago. So could you imagine what it costs now?
Holy crap.
Yeah.
And that's just tuition.
That's just tuition. Yeah, I'm not talking about housing. I'm not talking about living expenses. Yeah. Yeah. It's mad.
Mad.
So that's why I tell people now, like, I think when you hear somebody went through that stage and when they are at the stage that they are at now, you need to put some respect on people's names, because we went through a lot and we still go through a lot, you know, trying to make it, you know, do what we love, but having you have that respect for it. Like I always tell people, money, cool, you know, I would charge what I charge, but respect is what I prefer from my clients, you know, respecting my time, respecting what I do, just respect, you know, for the industry.
Do you think if you had the opportunity to go on Gordon Ramsay's show, do you think you could survive that heat in the kitchen?
Yeah. I think because I mean I was exposed to the regional competition last year in Jamaica, yeah. Which was a whirlwind in itself. It was crazy. I think like I do have the what it takes. You know, like I could bring a little bit of Trini Flay into one of those shows and, you know, just kind of, I think I'll be able to hold my own well enough.
Yeah.
But again, the humble side of me knows that really talented chefs out there. Yeah. So, you know, you always try to bring it back home. Like you always think you're the best. It's always somebody that.
I don't know if I could have function. I don't know if I could have functioned if Gordon Ramsay was breathing down my neck. Screaming at me.
There are ways to deal with chefs like that. Like I don't believe, like, that's not my style at all. Yeah. Like there are people and you know, business owners who I have worked for, unfortunately, that wanted me to be like that. And yeah, Karen, I could give you some stories. But you know, that's not my style, because you can't, I believe in also the beauty of bringing people's talents out is inviting or providing a comfortable space, providing a non-toxic space for them to do what they do. And but Gordon Ramsay.
But have you applied? Because I have seen some Trini chefs in the Iron Chef and all those chef competitions.
They have like an underlying clause that you have to have citizenship or even residency to apply to, but I believe that there are some shows that they.
We have to apply for the UK shows.
We will figure it out.
My good friend Ola Tunji, who went in the UK voice, apply to UK shows. I'm sure there's a UK version of the show.
That I could.
Yes, darling.
We'll figure it out.
So we're gonna take a quick break. We have some bills to play. We're gonna play two songs. And we'll be back with more Meraki Catering.
I might not be here, but I love everybody so much.
It's a Foodie Friday,
peace,
yes?
Peace, love, and cupcakes, everybody. Mwah.
I could do with some cupcakes now, you know? Yeah. All right, we'll pay some bills and come right back.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
And we are back right here on the Digital World. We got Simone, the boss behind Meraki Catering. Simone,
hey.
How are you doing on this lovely Friday?
Good, excellent.
You know, listen, time flies so much when you are having fun. We got our up next at from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. is Davey in the Overdrive session. So I want to ask you two more questions before we wrap up and Davey comes in and takes over, right?
Yeah.
So as a business owner, what do you feel like is the next step for you? Where does Meraki Catering go from here?
Yeah, definitely leaving a legacy of you know, excellence behind. I believe you can't touch this earth and, you know, just take what it has to give and leave nothing behind. Nothing of value, at least. So I'm transitioning into that space where I, you know, start to bring people on to work under me, to provide opportunities that, you know, they may not have otherwise if they don't interact with me, interact with my company. So we're definitely going on that route, more obviously the consultancy realm, but definitely to bring in people to work under me.
Right.
To just show them that, again, there's so many different things within the industry that they can, you know, segue into based on what they are good at.
Right.
I don't believe in, you know, just looking at the hospitality or the culinary industry, like just cooking, baking, and you're done. There's so many things. There's food photography. There's, you know, working in just different spaces and different things that, you know, would highlight what they're already good at.
Right.
And just, you know, melting into that. So it's to figure out a way to do that seamlessly. And definitely finding a way to, there's a project that I have in my mind that is slowly going to start to come out.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to try to put Trinidad and Tobago on the map, where it needs to be. Because I think when I look at us, big up to Jamaica, big up to Barbados, all of these Caribbean
Everybody
islands.
Everybody has an identity.
We are the mecca of food in the Caribbean. We need to start to
actually have that brand out there. It's kind of scattered. I know what you mean. Like, Jamaica has that brand. Barbados has mm-hmm. that brand. Heck, Guyana even has that brand to an extent.
Correct.
And we have the right ingredients. We have the right things. There just needs to be a unification of that.
That is a perfect
Yeah,
that
we need to unify that brand.
Yeah.
So with Meraki, can we see a potential school? Like, is there going to be a situation where if the hospitality doesn't come back, is there any plans to start teaching?
Yes.
Because I know you like to teach.
Well, I actually do that on a smaller scale right now. I started in 2019. I would do small courses, you know, at my home studio, whether it be cake decorating, cake making, bread making. So taking the techniques, I'm heavily driven on technique because I believe once you know how to do something, the technique behind it, once you get that down, you apply ingredients to that and that's where you're making money. I don't believe in teaching people recipes because that's fleeting, you know. So I would have started that on a small scale. I would have partnered with an old teacher of mine from Degosec, Nikki Rodriguez, who she homeschools her kids. And through that and that community, she also offers training in the industry. So I partner with her from time to time to do courses. And I would have had private classes, sushi making, different things where my love and that I want to teach people how to do that people already have an interest in.
Right.
So I have started on a small scale, but the larger picture that I want is it's in the works. I can't talk too much about
No worries.
It's definitely in the works to approach.
For the up and coming team or the up and coming minds that are thinking about going on the road of becoming a chef, give us the first two. What are the two critical things that you want people to know about when they want to become a chef? You know, where do they go? What are two key tips that you would give them?
First thing is don't be fearless. Be fearless. Don't be fearful of what anybody has to think about what you're going to do. Yeah. If every morning you wake up or every time you are within yourself, you are thinking of doing this one thing, do it. Start somewhere. Don't be afraid of, you know, leaving the comfort of a salary, you know, to dive into something that, you know, you once you put your all behind it, it's going to be successful. And there are times when you're going to feel failures, you just learning how to do something not that way, but adding us a different component to make it successful. So don't be afraid, just start. The second thing is always connect the dots. There is a brilliant restaurateur in the States called Danny Mayer.
Mm-hmm.
I love his books. I just love his approach, his mind in terms of the hospitality industry. And there's one thing I will never forget. I read that he said, when you are entering this industry or any industry, any industry, you could apply it. ABCD, always be connecting dots.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't decide that you want to go into something and then you start from there. You have to learn how to trail the dots that you've been living however long. You have little gems that you could take along the way, and you always have to find that way to connect situations, people, places that you've been, and apply it to what you want to do. Always be, you know, picking up those things along the way, those little pebble stones, to create the bigger picture.
I love that. There's an author from one of my favorite books, Daniel Priestley. He's the author of the book called Key Person of Influence.
Okay.
And one thing he says in that book that has always stuck with me is, you want to be the dot connector. Don't just be the dot. The dot is that person who is a cog in the system. You want to be the dot connector because you are going to be the one that starts to strategize. You're Correct. The one that has a vision. Correct. You're going to be pulling everything together. Correct. And those are the people that make the big money,
Correct.
That
yep.
make the impact, that make the change. If you are just that functional dot,
you're staying right there.
You're staying right there. Yeah. But not just staying right there, you're replaceable.
Wow.
And you might be replaceable by another person.
Yeah.
Or in this day and age, it could be ChatGPT.
Correct.
It could be a tool. It could be a machine.
Yeah.
You don't just want to be a dot. You want to learn how to be a connector of dots in whatever your space is in. Simone, where can the Digital World family find you and connect with you?
All platforms, TikTok, Meraki Catering TT, Instagram, Meraki Catering TT, Facebook. I have my website online, which is www.merakicateringtt.com. You can find my contact information there where you can direct message me on WhatsApp. And yeah, if you see me in public, you know, come say hi, let's have a chat, you know, have
love
a conversation.
Love it.
Yeah,
Simone, I want to thank you for coming on down.
Karen, I thank you very much for opening the space, because not a lot of people think like chefs have, you know, things to contribute, but I appreciate you.
Listen, if there's one thing, I love to speak with business owners in all industries,
yeah,
because there's going to be gems and ways that everybody approaches their industry.
Mm-hmm.
And some are going to be unique to their space.
Yep.
And there's going to be things that anybody could listen to and take. And the best learning happens when you are listening to people from people who have no relation to your industry.
Correct. Yeah.
And they might say something like, oh,
I didn't think about it.
Correct. And yeah, I could take that and put it into my thing. So yeah, most definitely.
Yeah,
and I'm sure we will see you again, because we also have a food show on Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And the person coming in afterwards is the host of that. I think it's called Tasty Tuesday. We'll ask him when we come offline, right?
Cool.
But no worries. Stick around. We're gonna bring Davey in. I'll talk to you about that Tuesday show, because that's all a food show.
Sweet.
Right? And folks, every single Friday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. is The Digital World with myself, Karen Rose. You can find me on all social media platforms at KERONROSE. You can go to KarenRose.com. You can check out the Digipreneur FM podcast to learn more about building your digital presence and monetizing your platforms. All right? So feel free to reach out with any types of questions along those lines. Until next week, Friday, I will see you then, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Up next is Davey Murray inside the Overdrive, and he will be coming through now. So everybody, take care and enjoy your weekend.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.